Francis Poulenc was born in Paris in 1899, and he was a member of the French group Les Six. The Six is an epithet clearly derived from the earlier Russian Five. The aims of the French group were to break away from the influences of French Impressionism and Germanic formality as a reaction against the style of Wagner, and to employ a direct and simple style in their own music. Of the Six, Poulenc was by far the most successful. The brilliant French composer was born into a wealthy family of pharmaceutical manufacturers. His mother, an amateur pianist, taught him to play, and music formed a part of family life. From 1918 to 1921, he served in the French army, and then began taking lessons in composition. A decisive turn in his development as a composer occurred when he attracted the attention of Erik Satie. He was an excellent pianist, and in 1935 he became an accompanist to the French baritone Pierre Bernard, for whom he wrote numerous songs. Compared with his fellow composers from the group The Six, Poulenc appears a classicist. He never experimented with the popular devices of machine music or asymmetrical rhythms and polyharmonies. Futuristic projections had little interest for him. He was content to follow the gentle neoclassical formation of Ravel's piano music and songs. Among his other important artistic contacts was the famous impresario Diaghilev, who commissioned him to write music for his Ballet Rouge. He also, throughout his career, borrowed from his own compositions, as well as those of Mozart and Camille Saint-Saëns. He was a prolific composer. Apart from his fine songs and piano pieces, he revealed himself as an inspired composer of religious music. He also wrote remarkable music for the organ, including a concerto that is considered among the most beautiful concertos. A master of artificial simplicity, he pleases even sophisticated listeners by his blunt, triadic tonalities, spiced with quickly passing discords. Among his last series of major works is a series of works for wind instruments and piano. He was particularly fond of woodwinds and planned a set of sonatas for all of them. Yet he only lived to complete 4 sonatas for flute, oboe, clarinet, and the elegy for horn. Although Poulenc saw himself as primarily a composer of religious music, it was not in fact until 1936, following his return to Catholicism, that he produced his first sacred work. A steady stream of religious pieces flowed from his pen, including a mass and a series of motets. His first large-scale choral work, the Stabat Mater, appeared in 1950, and the Gloria in 1959, only 4 years before his death. Both employ the same forces, chorus, soprano solo, and large orchestra, and both enjoyed immediate acclaim. They have remained firm favorites with performers and audiences ever since. Poulenc's very distinctive style relies principally on strong musical contrasts. The harmony moves between Stravinskian dissonance and lush, sensuous chord progressions, vigorous counterpoint with lyrical melodic writing. Dynamics frequently range from a hushed piano to an emphatic forte within the space of a bar or two. He skillfully uses this colorful musical palette to express a wide range of emotions, from lyrical serenity to unashamed glee. The Gloria was commissioned by the Koussevitzky Foundation of America. Some critics suggested that it bordered on the sacrilegious. Poulenc replied, "While I was writing it, I had in mind angels sticking out their tongues, and also some solemn-looking Benedictine monks that I saw playing football one day." The work is divided into 6 short movements. After a brief introduction, the chorus enters with a prominent dotted figure to the word Gloria, which forms the basis of this movement. Gloria, Gloria. The animated second movement, Laudamus Te, reveals Poulenc in playful mood, with the chorus for the most part divided into pairs of voices, sopranos and tenors, altos and basses, exchanging a series of short phrases. In the expressive third section, Domine Deus, the soprano soloist is heard for the first time with a typically yearning melody, while in the meantime the chorus is allocated a supporting role. If you think that classical religious music is long, grim, and boring, don't worry. Poulenc charges constantly ahead through a dense but joyous kaleidoscopic journey. The fourth movement, lasting barely a minute, is woven from no fewer than a half dozen evanescent melodies. Like a well-structured pop song, it's over so fast you just want to hear it again. The soprano soloist returns for the exquisite Dominus Deus Agnus Dei, with soloist and chorus sometimes combining and sometimes exchanging lyrical phrases. The last minute of Gloria encapsulates both Poulenc's genius for seemingly effortless efficiency and the depth of his surface simplicity. But then a solo soprano glides through a loud amen, wondering desperately until, at the end of her breath, she settles on a final note of doubt, barely audible. The soprano suggests one more amen and a challenging, bittersweet suspension of eternal, unresolved mystery. On that shimmering ambiguity, the work ends. It's not only one of the most awesome moments in all of music, but brilliantly complex in all its levels of meaning. Poulenc's sense of humor and love of life shine through all his music, however solemn the text might be. One of his friends said of him, "There is in him something of the monk and the street urchin. Half monk, half thug." That's the phrase that describes him best. The Gloria brilliantly expresses these characteristics with its captivating mixture of solemnity and mischievous exuberance.